This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit, the technology platform that brings financial confidence with products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. You might have learned the recorder in school, but probably not how to navigate the financial world. Luckily, Intuit's on a mission to help with the free Intuit for Education program. It provides students with the lessons to learn essential skills, like how to build credit, file taxes, and budget. Check out their free resources at intuit.com/education.
Andrew McCart, IFL TV. It's been a minute, Sam Jones. I've been chasing you for weeks and weeks, but I finally got a hold of you. You will be sorry when I see you live somewhere, whenever next show we're at. You will be sorry for standing me up for the best part of 2-3 weeks. But anyway, I've got you. How's things?
Yeah, all right, mate. All right. Not at the best start to 2023, but boxing, isn't it? So that's just the game is the game, Andrew, isn't it?
Well, that's it, Sam. And now you're a part of the game. You know the intricate details of this game when it comes to not just the fighting side of what we see in the ring. You know everything outside of the ring, which I can only imagine is frustrating at times, but that's the job you chose and that's the role you want to play.
Yeah, absolutely. I've never quite had so many things happen at once. It's been a bit shit, but like what I say, things can only get better.
Well, that's a song as well, is it not?
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, I will come on to that because I've got a small inkling in what you're alluding to. We will come on to that. But let's talk about last night and Dalton Smith's performance. And obviously the whole card for me, I thought from Nico Lutz all the way up to Dalton Smith was fantastic. Campbell Hatton, Sandy Ryan, do you know what I mean? Ishmael Davis and Troy Williamson. Them cards, those fights were fantastic. Great 50-50. Just give me your whole reflection from Nico all up to Dalton Smith. Quick reflection on the last card.
So I only saw the clip of Nico getting the stoppage because I arrived just after that fight concluded. But it sounded like it was a great fight and Nico did well. He had a cut, so well done to him. Good night for the Steel City gym in general. I think that, what's his name? Liam Cameron. Mm-hmm. So I saw he got a stoppage. And then you go from that to Campbell Hatton, Jojo Flint. Brilliant fight. I was really gutted for Campbell Hatton because I did really want to see him win because Campbell does takes a lot of stick. And what people don't probably realise with Campbell is as well, and they don't realise, but he doesn't need to box. Mm. Imagine going into a fight like that where you can't breathe, you're out of breath, and you're literally like fighting on instinct, and you don't actually have to do it. Because vast majority of boxers, you'll know yourself, Andy, because you was one, they do it because it's their job, and they need to. That's what they need to do to provide for their family. Campbell goes in there not needing to box, so I think he deserves more props. I think even off the, because you know, if Campbell would have got the decision yesterday, which is what I was worried about. I was thinking, please don't give him the decision, because if they do, it will take the shine off how brave he was and how hard he fought. I think he comes out with it with more credibility than getting a draw or a win that he didn't deserve, in my opinion. I thought some of the two cards were really wide. I thought it was the 117, 115. I think that was one of the scorecards. That was a very fair reflection of the fight. But yeah. Credit to Campbell Hatton, right? He deserves a lot of credit. He really does, because he gets a hell of a lot of stick. So great fight, really good fight, and the better man won on the night. Then we go to Troy Williamson against Ishmael Davis. I thought Ishmael Davis was brilliant. And listen, he's an inspirational guy, Ishmael Davis, because listen, it's like well documented. He was in prison. He was like his life was not going the way he'd obviously planned it to go to, and he's turned his life around. He's come against Troy Williamson, who I really love to bits. I love Troy. He's a proper throwback fighter that would literally never turn down a fight. I know that about Troy. He's always, I know he got a bit of stick for missing weight, but if Troy missed weight, it's because he physically couldn't make the weight, because he is a proper professional, Troy. And he'll always be in great fights. And people will always pay money to watch Troy because he's always brings great value. So I'm looking forward to see Troy dust his, spend time with his, he's got a young baby and his family, spend time with family, come back. But going back to Ishmael Davis, brilliant performance. And I'm looking forward to seeing him on his quest to become a, go through the, well, British, European. If he gets to the world level, then that's going to be amazing as well. But great fighter, really good fighter. Sandy Ryan against Terry Harper. It was a bit of a standout performance from Sandy. I thought she was outstanding. I thought you could see Terry after even the second round was shaking her head. She was very dejected. And listen, Terry's achieved so much in boxing. She really has. She's done, and she's got obviously a cornerman that knows her and has her best interests and made definitely the right call, because Terry's poker face wasn't really there either. You could see signs that she was just up against somebody stronger, better, and that's what happened. It was a brilliant performance from Sandy, and I hope she gets the big fights going forward. And then the main event, I thought Dalton Smith was outstanding. I thought he was his patience was brilliant. Like he didn't panic when that's a Peter. Yeah, he's obviously slightly past his best, but he was dangerous. A very, very dangerous guy. And you can always tell a puncher, right? You know, when I've sat ringside for fights, you can tell you can always tell the difference between a kind of a non-puncher and a puncher. Zepeda, when he was hitting Dalton on the gloves, it was almost like a vibration and you could hear the thuds. So, you know, if he catches you on the lip, you're in trouble. So Dalton dealt with that really, really well. He was very patient, and then he just started to piece him up, and then he stopped him with a beautifully placed body punch. And Dalton Smith is now officially a part of the 140-pound party, and there's lots and lots of great fights to be made in that division. But brilliant night. I like the Steel City gym. I really like Grant Smith. He doesn't take as much credit as what he deserves. I think he's a fantastic coach. Brilliant night of boxing. That's what we want to see.
A lot of people are saying that Jose Zepeda was slightly past his best, but I mean, he was a year on from the Progre fight, which it took Progre 11 rounds to get rid of him. Then Richardson Hitchens, even though it was a shutout win for him, he didn't get him out of there. I know styles make fights and all this sort of stuff.
Dalton Smith's a more exciting fighter than Richardson Hitchens. Richardson Hitchens is very, very, listen, Dalton's safety first, but Dalton's a lot more exciting to watch than Richardson Hitchens. And that showed yesterday. It was a brilliant performance, flawless performance from Dalton.
Well, you said Dalton Smith's arrived in this 140-pound party because it seems to be a glamour division right now with the names that are in it. I can rattle off maybe 10 names right now, but I'm pretty sure everybody knows who we're talking about.
Yeah.
The Devin Haney's and the Ryan Garcia's, the Josh Taylor's, Catterall's, all of these guys. But there's a fighter that Dalton Smith has been tagged alongside to face. And you know where I'm going with this? This Adam is Adam Azim. Now, Eddie Hearn basically said, "I dare you, Adam." Boxer has said that, I've came out and said that he won't be fighting Dalton Smith next, but it's been ordered by the British Boxing Border Control and the EBU. So, does it make sense? Clearly it does. Does it?
Yeah, because the fans, any fight that the fans want to see, Andrew, makes sense. But this is my honest take, because I did an interview earlier on talking about it. I feel sorry for Adam Azim because he's not one of those guys that is a brash guy that says, like, even though, listen, he got asked about the Kayshawn Davis thing, but he doesn't go out on social media and tweet fighters saying, "I'm going to smash you, I'm going to do this." He's a relatively quiet lad, isn't he? Like, well, to the somebody that doesn't know him, he looks like a quiet lad that goes about his business. He's a brilliant, brilliant fighter, young fighter that's had a lot of backing by Sky. They've done a good job in that front. But it's hard when you start saying things like, oh, I want to fight Keyshawn Davis next at Wembley Stadium. I want to fight Lopez next. I want to become the youngest world champion. And then you get mandated to fight Dalton Smith. And I'm trying to word this the best I can. He hasn't really been protected, in my opinion, from this situation. The fight matching has been great. Like, he's been match made perfectly so far. But it's come to a point now where, okay, so you want to fight Keyshawn Davis at Wembley, but you don't want to fight Dalton Smith for the British and European title, which you have been mandated to fight by, you've been ordered to defend your belt against him and to fight for Dalton's belt. Mm-hmm. Now, Eddie, being experienced promoter that he is and the sharp that he is, and it's the same as Frank Warren, if Frank Warren's in this, them two are experienced guys. And if they smell blood, they will come at you. They will come. If they sense a weakness, those two guys, Frank Warren, Eddie Hearn, any experienced promoter, sense the weakness. And he hasn't really got like someone coming out saying, this is our decision. This is my decision, not Adam's. Adam wants to fight Dalton. I'm making this decision to say that Adam Azeem needs a couple more fights, then we'll fight Dalton Smith. But instead, they're trying to word it and do propaganda, silly posts, make silly graphics saying we are definitely going to fight Dalton Smith. And it's kind of worded in a way where you're not going to do it next, but it's been ordered next. And you've been calling out world champions, but you don't want to fight Dalton. It's a shit show. And it's inexperienced. And Adam Azeem hasn't been protected from him. Because I'm almost certain Adam Azeem is ringing his manager, whoever managed him, I don't know if it's Shane McGuigan manages him or his promoter, and saying, look, I look like an idiot here. I want to fight Dalton Smith, because that's the fighter in him. Most fighters would be like that. But no one's coming out and basically saying, no, we're taking this out of our fighter's hands. And now you've waited, because what they were doing is, and I know this for almost certainty, they were watching last night thinking, please God, say Dalton Smith gets whooped tonight, please. Or he gets clipped. Or he gets put on the floor. He gets hurt. Just something to show us that there's a weakness there. And there's something for us to focus on. Think, right, we can get him. He's got a weak chin, or he's soft to the body, or like something. None of that happened. And quite honestly, the biggest disaster ever for them happened, because Dalton looked brilliant and he looked flawless. So now you're not going to fight him. And then when it comes to being interviewed, or even your next fight, you're just going to get slaughtered. And now the credibility goes. It's a disaster. It's a shit show. And it comes down to experience. Because I'm telling you this now, Andy. If I was looking after Adam Azeem, I would. And I thought if he was ready for Dalton Smith, I'd put him in. But if I was thinking what they're clearly thinking, that he's not ready for him, I would stand in front of you and all these media outlets and say, my decision, he's not fighting him yet because he's simply not ready. He needs a couple more fights. He needs to go the 10 rounds, go the 12 rounds a couple of times against a fringe world level guy, and then we'll make a massive fight. But it's my decision. So if you've got a problem, aim your stick at me. It's nothing to do with him. He wants to fight. There's been none of that happening. And yet again, it's just another shit show. Like the same with the Fraser-Clark situation, which really affected Fraser, you could see. And credibility just goes. But I feel sorry for Adam Azeem, because he's a brilliant, brilliant fighter. He's clearly a lovely lad. And I do think he has an amazing future in boxing. So make sure you don't just flipping clickbait me when I look like I'm saying what I'm saying. But I think he's a brilliant, brilliant fighter with loads of potential. But this is yet another shit show. And his credibility is not great. So he may even be, like so embarrassed, they'll end up doing the fight and putting him to a fight that he's just not ready for. But I don't know. It's a shit show, and he deserves better in this situation, because he don't deserve the stick he's getting.
Sam, do you obviously you're in the sport, you know it quite well. Do you think Adam Azeem is ready? He has the European title. He has got that.
I don't know him well enough. On the evidence of his performances, no, because I don't believe he's been remotely tested yet.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
I don't think he's not had a cut yet. He's not had a round where is he tired? We don't know that. Like Dalton's had a bit of a lackluster performance against Casey Benjamin, but I heard Dalton had problems after that fight. But Dalton's kind of he's had a huge amateur background and he's had some good fights, Dalton. And their team were confident enough to put him in with a puncher like Zepeda. So on the outside perspective looking in, no, he isn't ready. But Shane McGuigan, I think, said he's the best fighter he's ever trained. So if he and considering he's trained your mate, Taylor, undisputed champion, Carl Frampton, all the fighters that David Hay, I know David Hay was coming towards the end of his career, but like big puncher, like Shane McGuigan's trained some really good fighters. So to say he's the best fighter you've ever trained or the most talented you've ever trained, then they must think he's ready. But I don't know enough about Adam Azim to tell you that he's ready for Dalton Smith. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely.
Perfect.
Well, listen, we know when we look at Campbell Hatton and Flint and we look at Josh Taylor and Jack Catterall and obviously Aziz and Bouazzi, these all British clashes, they produce big fights. But listen, we'll get there one day. I'm sure we will get there one day. I don't think Adam Azim is scared of Dalton Smith, and Dalton Smith's definitely not scared.
No, I don't either. And I want to make that very clear. I'm almost certain he's ringing. I want to fucking fight this guy. Have you seen what they're calling me on Twitter? Like, yeah. I'm almost certain of it. But because of the inexperience, they're just making him look like daft. I feel for him. I promise you, I feel for him. I think he deserves better.
Well, you mentioned Josh Taylor slightly there in that part there. Let's talk about it. I know you were out in Tenerife with Jack Catterall, who started his training camp out there. He was out there anyway, doing a bit of training camp. You were out there also, and then the news came through that Josh Taylor, it wasn't an injury. He just had to give his injury that he had in his eye a little bit more time. go back to the moment that you found out.
I'll give you a little backstory. When we were negotiating for the fight, for the months we were negotiating it, Team Taylor really wanted the 25th of May. This is a fact. And if they say anything different, they're telling pork pies. I've got it. Evidence. This is the date. That's the date we're fighting. They were adamant they're fighting the 25th of May. So it stinks a little bit, Andrew. However, because Jack was so certain that Taylor was going to pull out or postpones. I know Josh doesn't like saying the words pull out because technically it has only been postponed. But if that date wouldn't have been available, it would have. We're looking at July because Jack's getting married, or August because Jack's getting married the first week of June. So it's not ideal. It's very irritating. But Jack is the best professional that I've ever worked with. And he's just like, right, it is what it is. Because if Josh Taylor doesn't turn up on the 25th of May, then Josh is clever enough to know that his credibility is hanging hanging by a thread, and it shouldn't be the case because we know what he's achieved, what we've reeled off before. But he may as well hang his highly decorated boots up if he doesn't turn up on the 25th of May.
Have you, obviously, medical records or whatever it may be that this is legitimate? Has he provided all this sort of stuff? Because, like, we know...
They've sent it to Top Rank, and Top Rank have sent it to Matchroom, but I'm not interested. We're not interested because, right. Like what I said, genuinely... We want Taylor to be in. I genuinely think there could be a problem, even though, like, they wanted the 25th of May. I think he went into that date hoping he'd be ready, but he's not going to be ready. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? But so I think that I'm not interested in seeing the papers because Josh, I don't believe, enjoys the stick he gets on social media. So when it got pushed back again, it's like, oh, what do you expect? You pulled out again. So if he pulls out again, then he's, well, we know what's going to happen. So I expect to see Josh all happy and ready to go and on the 25th of May. And it's going to be a great night, Andy. I'm really, really looking forward to it. It's a shame it got pushed back, but it is only 4 weeks. Can't cry and complain about it. See Josh Taylor on the 25th of May.
We know that injuries happen, do you know what I mean? And Josh himself has said it's not an injury, it's just that he had surgery in his eye. And
So
he's still in
camp. We got the call when Matchroom were doing the documentary, so it's a bit it looks staged, I promise you. When you watch it, you'll think, oh, it's fake. Believe me, it's not. It's very, you like the word, raw. It's very raw, and it's irritating because Jack's out there planning for it. But then when the cameras were off a few hours later, Jack was like, half expected it anyway. So
listen, it's happening. 25th of May. I don't think it's like you said. It's only 4 weeks, and it's a fight that when you just look at the ticket sales and the sort of press conferences, it's a fight the British public, maybe I would say the world, will be watching. I'm pretty sure the US.
But people love stories, and like you saw yesterday, I know it wasn't a sellout yesterday, but when you put on shows like that, people will buy tickets and people will be interested because you looked at the card last night, for example. I was very confident Dalton was going to win, but you looked at the card and thought, not all the favourites are going to win in this fight, or it's going to be close. And every fight was a brilliant fight. The most one-sided fight was probably Sandy against Terry Harper, but it was still a great fight to watch. You know what I mean? It was a good dust up, and long may these cards continue, because that's what keeps people paying to watch boxing. People want to see, look at a card and think, oof, don't know who's going to win that. That's what you want to see. And that's what keeps people interested in the best sport in the world.
Definitely. And 25th of May, I will be there. You will be there.
You're banned from interviews on that day, Andrew.
No, I think this is what people want to see, these interviews, this interaction. You coming at me, me just giving you a glass bottle of Iron Brew. Do you know what I mean? We're all friends.
I enjoyed that, by the way. You have to send me another one of those. I enjoyed that.
Listen, next show, we're at together. We'll figure it out, and I'll bring a couple of bottles down for you. 1909. Anyway, let's do another segue over to a fighter that you know very, very well in that glamour division that is the heavyweight division, Joe Joyce.
Listen, comeback
win against Cash Ali, got the stoppage, especially after coming off two back-to-back knockout losses, okay? I think that people were saying, what, it was a laboured performance, it wasn't his best, he should retire. But when you're coming off two back-to-back losses, in the back of your mind, I think you're half sort of thinking, don't get knocked out here, play it safe, let me see if I can get him late on, blah, 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 blah. Just give me your thoughts on his performance, because there's a lot of people online saying that Joe should retire.
Yeah, look, it's always a hard subject for me to talk about because a lot of feeling and emotion towards Joe. I love the guy to bits. I really do. I spent some of the best years of my life, like, traveling the world with Joe Joyce, and like, he was one of the main reasons why, like, my kind of management career, whatever you want to call it, kind of taken off. I think I did a great job with Joe, and I think I did right by him. But like, make no mistake, like, I've got a lot to be grateful to Joe Joyce for, and I'll forever be grateful. And that's why, like, he's got a friend in me forever. If ever he needs me, I'm there for him. Look, when I looked at Joe's performance, knowing him how I know him, it kind of looked like he wasn't really interested. Does that make sense? Like, he wasn't really like, he did it because he just did for the sake of it. Like, oh, it's a fight. Yeah, I'll take the fight. Not the most motivated performance. You could see that by the way, like, listen, he was very heavy. Joe was very, very heavy in that fight. Yeah, look, people are calling for him to retire. I've got my opinions. I've spoke to my opinions, said my opinions privately to Joe. And if Joe continues to box, I want him to continue to box for the right reasons and that he wants to box. Do you understand? Like, he really wants to box. He wants to get himself into great nick, like he's always been. Like, he's always been. Train hard, enjoy his training. But I want him to be happy. I want him to be healthy. And I want him to make use of the money that he he's earned, yeah, over the course of an amazing career that he's had. I know it kind of seems like I'm skirting around the question, because like, I don't, like, I've told my opinion to Joe in private, but I just want him to be happy, Andy. Genuinely, I just want him to be happy, and I want him to enjoy, because there's more to life than fucking boxing, especially when you get to his age of 38. Joe's got a fine art degree. He's way more intelligent than what people give him his credit for. So yeah, I just want to see Joe with a smile on his face and enjoy his life, because if Joe did retire, he's had a career that most people would dream about, mm-hmm. amateur and pro.
Definitely, Olympic silver medalist. You know,
should have been gold.
Should have been gold. I totally agree with you on that one. But he has been. I saw online as well that Zhili Zhang looks like he's going to be fighting Wilder, and then the Joe Parker rematch looks like there was talk about that happening out in Saudi Arabia. I think Joe Parker now, in the form that he's on, is probably thinking, I want to right that wrong. That fight maybe 2 years ago. If Joe Joyce does fight on, there's been talk about Dillian White. There's been talk about the Joe Parker rematch, Dubois rematch, Martin Bacoli, because we'll touch on that leaked sparring videos. We'll touch on that in your thoughts. But
yeah,
again, put your manager's hat on. Joe Joyce has one fight left, or he's going to fight on. Who do you want him to fight next out of the names I just mentioned? Have you froze?
Francis Ngannou. No, Dillian White. Dillian White's a good fight. Dillian White's a good fight.
Definitely. Well, let's touch on the Martin Bacoli thing, because you and Scotsman, man, you really, really hate the nation of Scotland right now.
I don't hate the nation of Scotland, Andy. I like you. I love Scotland. Enjoyed Edinburgh. I just don't tolerate that kind of shit, because Martin Bacoli is a Jack Henry that tells a story, and not Tushik out inspiring, not Dubois out inspiring, not Hergovic out inspiring, not Joe Joyce out inspiring, not every motherfucker out inspiring, and calls out every name in boxing except the guy that made you quit and beat the fuck out of you at York Hall, Michael Hunter. Right the wrong, and then people will take you more seriously. Your credibility will go skyrocketing, and you will then get the big fights. You can't just beat a 50-year-old Takam and then call out the world. We want Hargovic. We want Joyce. We want Anthony Joshua. Like, no, mate, you don't want any of those fighters. Fight Michael Hunter, right the wrong first. And you can say whatever you like about Joe Joyce. And he had the bollocks to get straight back in the ring and fight Zhang and attempt to right the wrong. Because that's why Joe Joyce is built differently to someone like Martin Bacoli. In that sparring, I swear to you this, right hand to God, Martin Bacoli had his moments in there, as he would do with anyone, because he's a brilliant fighter. But when the rounds were going on, because they were scheduled to do 10 rounds, he got out the ring after 6 rounds or 7 rounds, because Joe Joyce was getting on top of him, and then he was ended up on his hands and knees being sick in a bucket, and Billy Nelson goes, oh, he's a vegetarian and he had something dodgy to eat. Like, no, he didn't. He just got fucked up. So, yeah, that's the reason what happened. Stop telling silly stories. And you should never leave sparring footage. So when I've seen him post his little clip of knocking Joe's headgear off, I was thinking, what are you doing? Like, and he fucked it for himself, because that's what happens when you tell silly stories. You play silly games, you win silly prizes, Martin Bacoli. So, yeah. Go and right the wrong against Michael Hunter, or go and fight Cassius Chaney on a Don King show somewhere that no one cares about. That's what I mean. He needs managing better, Martin Bacoli. He does. And someone needs to take his phone off him urgently. And Billy Nelson's for that matter. Both talk waffle. Absolute waffle. We want to fight him. We want to fight him. You don't deserve it. What have you done to deserve that?
This is the Sam Jones I like. Why don't I get him?
No, that subject winds you up. I like Martin Bacoli. And I quite like Billy Nelson sometimes. He's all right in small, very small doses. But when it comes to that, don't try and make a mug of Joe who's achieved so much more than you could ever dream to achieve in amateur and professional and try and make a mug of him in sparring when we all know what happened that day in sparring. Martin Bacoli, the jackanory that he is.
Well, Sam, that's probably... Listen, I'll leave it at that because I've only got 7 minutes on it and I will want to touch on it a little bit more, but it's an absolute pleasure to speak to you again because you know I like our chats. We should make this a weekly thing. Why don't we make this a weekly thing? The Sam Jones and Scott podcast.
Yeah, okay. Tell you what, right? You tell someone to write me a check and then I'll start doing that for you.
Why don't we just do it on YouTube, right? We'll get the subscriptions on YouTube.
Show me and you just start our own YouTube channel.
Yeah, what we call it? S Jam, Andrew McCart, Sam Jones, S Jam.
It'd have to be, copyright, it'd have to be called Amsage.
Amsage, there we go. There we go. See, we could have took the S Jam. We could have S Jam podcast.
Oh, God.
Listen, God. Sam, absolute pleasure to speak to you on this Sunday afternoon, man. I hope. If I'll see you April 12th, probably, if that's the case. If not, then I'll see you at some show, hopefully, in the near future. But until then, my friend, pleasure to speak to you and enjoy the rest of your Sunday, mate.
Nice one, brother.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.